When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey everyone, my name is Danilo Petrovic.
I'm Ilya Marchenko.
I'm Dennis Kudla.
I'm Evgeny Donskoy.
I'm Henry Laaksonen.
I'm Peter Turepko, and you're listening to the Game to Love podcast.
Hey, welcome back, tennis fans. Here we are. It's a podcast about coaching this time because there's been some stuff going on in the media recently. One man by the name of Stefanos Tsitsipas has spoken out about there being coaching on courts, JG. What do you make of all of it?
Well, I feel like it just started as an innocent thing from Tsitsipas. He just posed the tweet, should there be coaching? On-court coaching. And since then, it's just sort of sparked flames on Twitter. I've seen so many people respond. I know we spoke about this very debate, must have been a few months back now, probably even longer ago. And we was a bit divided at the time. I've tried to look at everyone's point of view with this and tried to look and be as impartial as possible. But ultimately, I always come to the same conclusion, and that is it should not exist. It really should not exist. I do not want to see on-court coaching in whatsoever. I don't want to see it in any type of form. I know there were some people saying, when do you see the coaching? Is it going to be on the changeovers? Is it going to be at the end of a set? Is it going to be after game? Is it going to be during the points? Where do you sort of draw the line with it? I know the WTA, they have their own way of doing it. But I just don't want to see it at all. I want to see coaches sit there and bite their fingernails and watch their player work it out for themselves. I want to see them get in a spot above her, struggle their way through something and work out the solutions to the problem. Because for me, that's what differentiates a good tennis player to a great tennis player and really from a great tennis player to a champion. And that's what it's testing. It's not testing great tennis because everyone can play good tennis. On the Challenger Tours, the ITFs, we love that circuit. We think they're great. They're brilliant at tennis. But what may they not have is the mental side of figuring out what to do when. And that needs to come from the player, not the coach.
Yeah, mate. I know that you're very strong on this side of things. And I know that I've spoken out a lot before about the potential of there being maybe coaching on this. We've had it on WTA, maybe having it on ATP. We've had it on the UTS, just to give people a little taster of things. I know it's a bit more of a comedy vibe that going on the UTS, but it's still sort of there. I mean, it's an interesting thing to like prospect to bring up for men's tennis, because we have other sports where it's very beneficial. And I think that's where it sort of lies. And that's why he's posed the argument, I think, to everybody else, saying, why should all the other elitist individual sports have coaching and tennis doesn't? I mean, does that make it the most elitist sport out of them all then, if you can't have coaching in tennis? Or is tennis behind and it needs to catch up? And will we see a better standard of tennis from everybody if there is coaching on court? And I think that this is one thing they really have to weigh up, because it's a very big decision. And once you've made the decision, it's tough to go back on. So, I mean,
yeah, but I don't understand though. I don't know what you mean by this elitism. Like, how is it elitist not to have on court coaching?
How is it? Well, because it means you will have had to have everything on board yourself to deal with every situation. You will have to have planned everything in advance, all the strategies, plan A, B, C, D, E, all the way to Z, like Novak Djokovic possibly has in his locker. Something for every occasion. They've planned everything. But some players can go through the motions and know what to change very easily because they've been there before, they've done it before. Maybe Tsitsipas is probably thinking, if you're in the situation like he's been in multiple times now, where he's been in good situations in Grand Slams, like the Borna Coric match, had six match points there. If he just had a chance of a little bit of coaching, not from his dad, just from somebody else.
It would have been his dad, wouldn't it? Because he's his coach. And I'm sorry you couldn't have shut him up at all. He would have definitely been involved. And that's what sort of makes me think, was it even Tsitsipas tweeted it? Probably it's his dad. Tsitsipas has probably gone to the shower. He's come back and his dad's there typing away on Twitter, because he's definitely going to be in favour of it. I think he gets a penalty every other match about for on-court coaching. He can't shut up the guy at all. He just always is constantly talking and trying to give Steph some advice on court. So he's definitely in favour of it. I feel like that whole scenario just suits him well. We've seen a lot of uproar from different players. I don't know, uproar is maybe exaggerating. People aren't that up in arms about it. It's not a big deal either way. But people that are very strongly against it. We can say that to be sure. And I, for one, am definitely on that side of things.
Yeah, I really was on the other side of it. As you know, we've spoken about before, people in the live chat, people who listen to the podcast probably know. I was more on the side of entertaining it, just because the other sports that I watch, I see how it has such a positive impact on the fighter, let's say,
single sports then are you talking about? Because team sports, I feel, are completely different.
I'm in
favor of coaching on a team sport because I think it needs it. Basketball, football, all of the team sports, coaching is essential. The single sports where you're just one player against another player, I don't understand how there's any need for it. And I know exactly what example you're going to bring up, and that's boxing.
Oh yeah, exactly.
Or UFC fighting.
Yeah, exactly right, mate. I mean,
I don't watch the UFC. Do they have coaching on that?
Well, you have rounds, don't you? In between each round, like it could be, you could call every set a round, couldn't you? Because like, I'm fighting five rounds against Djokovic or something like that. You'll be battered and bruised, that's for sure, at the end of five rounds with him. When they get to the end of the round, like they do in boxing, they sit them down. These players, you got to remember, they're, even though they're the top physical peak of their like athlete, and they can still struggle mentally. That it's hard to compute everything that's going on when your body is not in its full physical peak. Obviously, they're getting punched in the face, so it makes it a lot harder. You're probably concussed at half the time. But some of these tennis players, you've got to think, they must be exhausted when they're going to changeovers, and some of them probably aren't even thinking about what they're doing. They're just sort of in a flow state on court. They're just sort of going with the, if they had a little bit of direction, like maybe Tsitsipas in some of those six match points against Coric, if somebody just said, just hit it to his backhand, just hit to it, or just hit it to his forehand, just play a few drop shots now, because that's what's going to get you this over the line.
Mate, part of this just a bit of sour grapes from Tsitsipas? Let's be honest, he's not having a great run in this last month or so. He's been awesome up until that, one of the best players in 2021, so I'm not jumping on his back at all. I think he's had a great season, but Abasa, he may have a little point. I don't know. He's saying the story is Tsitsipas complains about Djokovic's break after the second set. Two, he lost badly to TFO, obviously at Wimbledon, the first round. He then lost recently to Krajinovic after using the Djokovic strategy he complained about. And then four, he become crazy and started to share this terrible idea. And I think he's just having a bit of a rougher patch ever since that final. Well, he's not really. Has he picked up a win since the final? Well, he lost the final as well. I think he's lost the last few. Maybe it was the first. I forget. Did he win the first round recently? I'm not sure. But he's not been playing great regardless of that. I think he's on a bit of a losing run. And now all of a sudden he's like, oh, we need coaching. But at the start, he didn't need coaching at all, did he? In fact, I'm pretty sure before he wanted his dad nowhere near the stadium, wanted him out of it.
Maybe it's his dad controlling the Twitter.
What I'm saying. I think he's just nipped to the shower. I'm telling you, this is my theory. He's nipped to the shower. The dad's got on the laptop and he's tweeted it out. But we've seen a lot of reaction from other players. And there's a lot of points of view we can talk about this. I've been trying to see your way of things. And I think you've been trying to see my way of things. But let's see what other people are thinking. So what we've got first. Is this just the first one you got up? So that's John Isner. Big John here. He's weighing in on the situation. I don't agree with Tsitsipas about the on-court coaching. Tennis is a one-on-one sport. And that's the cool part about it. So he's on that side of things. John Isner. I don't think we've got this. Do you have the Kyrgios one? Is it on there or not?
I think it's on there on the last one, isn't it? I think it's not this one. This one, isn't it?
Yeah, there we go. So we've got Kyrgios here.
Do I have to click in it?
Yeah, if you click on the first one. I think. Well, you could just go to the Tsitsipas tweet first. I don't know if that's below.
Is it this
one? There we go. So this is actually what Tsitsipas tweeted out, word for word. Coaching on every point should be allowed in tennis. So he's saying every point. So not just coaching at the end of a game, not coaching at the end of a set. Coaching on every single point should be allowed in tennis. The sport needs to embrace it. We're probably one of the only global sports that doesn't use coaching during the play. Probably true. Would you not say?
Yeah, I mean, it's.
I think it's probably true. I think all the sports I can think of have coaching. Let us know in the chat if there's any others. So he's right in that regard. Yeah. Make it legal. It's about time the sport takes a big step forward. And I know Patrick Mitroglou was definitely in favour of it. He loves that kind of thing. He's got a lot of connections with Tsitsipas. He trained at the academy. So that might be a bit of an influence behind him saying it. He's got the dad. He's definitely a big influence behind it, his coach.
Yeah.
And ultimately, I'm going to keep saying it, I know people are saying he's throwing a bit of a tantrum and throwing his toys out of the pram a little bit because he's going through this rougher patch, as per se. And in a way, I kind of agree. I don't want to be harsh on Tsitsipas. I love the guy. I think he's awesome, but he kind of is. He needs to grow up a little bit. I think it's just because he's having a few losses and all of a sudden he wants coaching.
Well, we've got Ndai here in the chat saying, remember before the pandemic, WTA would do the on-court coaching. Wonder if it'll come back soon. Yeah, we did touch on it during that time as well. And I was watching.
Yeah, that's when we had a debate. I think it might have been doing a live watch along or something. We were talking about it.
Well, we had it on a podcast as well. I remember the match very well, which made me thought it was positive. And that was the only reason that I was sort of shying towards the positive side of having it was when you got to see Tom Hill, Maria Sakkari's coach. He came down onto the court when she was playing terribly. She was up against, I think it was Belinda Bencic. And she was losing the match. But all he said was, you're not playing well. Like, this is that we both know it. Just make sure you don't give her anything easy. Just make sure you get everything back. Maybe shy towards her backhand side because that's her weaker side, but just keep everything in. She will make the mistakes. She's not playing great either. And that's what she did. She kept everything in and she ended up turning the match around and winning the match. And I thought, great advice, because you just need to be told brutal, honest truth sometimes. You're not playing well today. Don't go for everything because you're going to miss it. Just keep it in the court and you have a chance of winning. And I thought that was just very sensible coaching from him. And it actually won her the match on the day. Something like that. I mean, it doesn't even have to be hit to the forehand on this shot, then on the next shot into the backhand side, then drop shot. Just a simple thing just to say, recognize who you are today because you're not the player that was in training yesterday that was hitting all those winners. You're a completely different player. Maybe your best self will be here in the next round. Just get through this.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. I mean, it might be a wake-up call for her because it definitely was. She just suddenly changed her whole approach to the match and it won it for her. So for me, I've just got lucky just watching that one match on WTA where that happened to be a positive one.
Yeah, no, I'm sure there is plenty of examples, and that is the point. I know you've always said we're going to see better tennis. I think the level of tennis will increase because people will not have to work out the problems themselves. They'll be told from sort of someone outside of the game watching from afar, and they might be able to give them better advice to get them out of problems. I just don't want to see. I want to see them. That's the whole point of the sport, though. Ben.
Yeah, exactly.
They're not playing. I want to see the player work it out for themselves. That's what makes it special. But back to this. I don't know if you're going to go up. We'll have a look what what Kyrgios actually said. So you can see here. So he responded to it, saying, "Seem to have done fine without it against you."
Because he suggested.
There we go. Yeah. So I usually don't mind his ideas, but this one is terrible. So Kyrgios weighing in on it, and then Tsitsipas responds, "I'll get you a coach. Don't worry about that." It's a pretty funny exchange, if I'm honest. And then it comes, "Seem to have done fine without it against you, my guy. Haha." But this, the beauty of tennis is to go out there alone. Some people choose not to have a coach. Some people can't afford a coach. Yeah. On the tennis court, it's a level playing field. I think it's the beauty of the sport. And Kyrgios, there's not many times that a lot of people agree with him, but I think most people do here. Has Kyrgios turned into the voice of reason? New podcast coming soon.
Well, maybe he has. It's nice to see that he will come up and stick up for the little man as well, which is the people who can't afford coaches. I mean, he's probably just one of the people who would just choose not to have one and just go on court and just, he likes to have fun on there. He takes advice from people in the crowd on where to serve. I mean, that's going to be all put paid to if he has a coach there telling him you've got to serve here, you've got to serve there. We'll lose the Nick Kyrgios antics so much. That's part of his aura on court, is you don't know what's going to happen next. He doesn't know what's going to happen next. The crowd decides sometimes what's going to happen next for Nick Kyrgios. So I can understand it. And I think he makes a good point that maybe his game might not be so exciting if there's a coach there on the sidelines barking orders at him, and he'd probably be fighting with him.
Oh, don't be silly, mate. It would never happen. It's not about it being exciting. It just would not happen. There's no chance that Kyrgios is going to say, "Oh, you know what? I'm going to have a coach and I'm going to have someone telling me what to do on the court." Of course, it's never, ever going to happen. He's going to do whatever he wants to do and no one can tell him otherwise, not even the umpire at times. So that's what Kyrgios said on it. Let's have a look at some more reactions from a few. We've got a few different ones here. Yeah. Billie Jean King, I agree with Sitter. That's one of the few people who do agree. I know we've spoke about, there's people still in the chat talking about, I can never say his name, but Patrick Mottroglio.
Mottroglio,
I think. And he's someone who's been criticised. Like, I think he, in the past, with Serena, has been... called out for actually getting caught for coaching. He's visibly done it many times and been called out for it. He's definitely in favour of it. He literally designed the UTS, which is all about coaching and talking during the middle of matches and stuff. So he loves all that kind of thing. I definitely think he's an influence behind this. Billie Jean King agrees as well. Coaching every point should be absolutely legal. Players still have to execute, and allowing coaching would give tennis coaches a lot more credibility and a lot more coverage for our sport in general. And that's a big point as well, because let's talk about all the other sports. You look at football, you look at the managers and stuff, Pep Guardiola, Jose Mourinho. These are celebrities in themselves. Could you say that's the same about tennis coaches? They're kind of behind the... You don't really know who they are. I know often we're watching a tennis match, we're looking in the stadium, we're like, who's that? Is that a fan? Is that the coach? Is that the dad? Is that the brother? Who is it?
Yeah, exactly, mate. I totally agree. And some of these...
It would raise the profile of coaches in tennis.
Oh, for sure. I mean, we have in football, obviously, we had Sir Alex Ferguson. And one of his biggest things when he was managing the whole Manchester United team was, in his contracts, no player will be paid more per week than him. So there's no power struggle in the dressing room. He would always be the highest earning person. In tennis, it's not like that. Tennis player is definitely the highest earning if you're the top echelon of the sport. Yep. That's for sure.
Imagine if you was a scenario where coaching was so imperative in tennis that you'd have sort of like transfers where you'd have coaches going from players to players and people then fighting to have, say, the best coach. And that comes to my next point in why I am totally against it. And I think you agree with me on this one. Yep. This is where it sort of the whole theory gets unstuck. It's not fair on the lower ranked players. It's not fair on players who can't afford the best coach. say 250 in the world. Come on, I don't want to see them having to go up against one of the best coaches in tennis. And it's hard enough as it is. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. There's enough struggles on the lower circuits with the financial, the amount they get paid, the opportunities into tournaments, wild cards. Don't get me started on that, because there's definitely some favoritism with that. And there's a lot of issues already to address in tennis. I don't think coaching is the first one where I would start. In fact, I want to see nothing of the sort. I don't want to see anything. I think it's actually bad in the WTA. I think they should scrap that, if I'm honest. I think it slows it down. Lose, to see it.
I think we're going to lose some of the magic moments in tennis, potentially, if it is introduced, because you might not ever see a Rosol beating a Nadal at Wimbledon. You might not see like any of these, like Stakovsky beating Federer. You might not see any of these big upsets.
Yeah, but I think we need to be careful, because at the end of the day, mate, like, a coach can only do so much. He's not going to be able to hold the racket for you. The players still have to execute it. That could have still happened. The other thing, the top echelon, like Rafa and stuff, a coach is not going to really, this is my opinion, I think them top players, a coach is not going to really help them anyway. They've got enough ability in themselves. They are the best coach they could potentially be. Roger, Rafa, even Serena to a level, and Djokovic, they're just elite. They don't need coaches. They are the best possible coach you could ever have.
This is the way I see it, though, mate. This is the way I see coaching. If it was to be implemented, this is how it would work going down. You would have, say, like your big three with the coaches which are paid the most, the best coaches. They probably got tons of them. They don't even have just one coach. They probably got lots of them all feeding into one main head coach. And that one will give you maybe three or four bits of information per match. And that's it. They won't need any more than that, just for vital situations. And then as you go further and further down, the coach will be literally play by play for the players when you get down to like number 300, 400 in the world. That's how I see it. Those top players, their onboard computer does the rest. They might need a little tiny tweak, but maybe even not even that.
Absolutely hate it, the thought of it, mate. And it's what really, for me, has killed football as well to a level. All the money involved in football, where you've got all these big coaches signing the big deals and being able to attract the better players, and then that all being around money as well.
Well, contracts mean nothing.
Mate, I don't want to see tennis become anything of the sort. Please do not ruin tennis. I generally would hate tennis if it was to become like that. Even with the whole UTS thing, I can understand parts of what they're trying to do. I don't think tennis needs to speed up. If you've got a bad concentration span, then go watch, I don't know, just go watch TV on your own or something. Just don't do it. I can't deal with it. Do you know what I mean? Just go watch some escapist TV programs or go play video games.
Love Island.
Yeah. Like, no offense to any of that, because I love video games. I play them all the time. But it's just a case of tennis needs to be how it is. Just stop changing it. I like the way it is traditionally. I think it works. I love the fight on court between one player and the other. Let's not change it. But that's Billie Jean King's opinion and Tsitsipas. Let's move on to the next one.
Yeah, I mean, I personally think that it will just help the best players to get even better, and there'll be an even bigger golfing class probably then. That's what you might start seeing. And then everyone will say, like, well, it's the same people winning all the things all the time again. Like, yeah, they've got all the money. That's what it's all at the top again. Everyone was looking to try and like make the divide less, not greater. So I don't know.
As the Alchemist says, this is a good point as well. The whole thing where people are saying tennis needs to become faster, I'm not in favour of that anyway. I don't think it needs to become faster. But I can understand it. So let's look at Rafa Nadal. You watch a Rafa Nadal match versus, say, a Cam Norrie match.
Yeah,
it's a lot longer because he takes a lot longer on every point. Even Djokovic, to a level, takes a little bit longer on every point. The new gen coming through, it's one bounce and hit. That's it. They play a quicker brand of tennis, which I can relate to. I like it. I must admit, I do like it. We get to see more tennis. But if you're going to have coaching on every point, you can't tell me that's not going to slow down the game, because you're going to have exchanges between the coaches and the players. Maybe the odd argument or the choice word. Just play the game. I don't want to watch it's not a soap opera. This, just get it done. Play tennis.
How would they do it? How would they be doing the coaching as well? Would it be like a little headset like UTS? They go over to the corner?
It'll be probably just like it is in all sports where you just shout out and stuff.
Well, then they can hear the opposition's tactics being shouted out.
Well, you can do it if you you can do it during the point, and you can do it in the changeovers if you want to whisper
during
in
the
their
point?
Ears. No, not during the point. I mean, at the end of every point.
I was like, God, that's the
during the point during the game. That's what I mean.
Yeah,
Pam had to say. If pro tennis would really commit to enforcing consistently the no coaching rule where it's supposed to be enforced, then fine. But 92.45%. That's mad. I don't know how she's come to that number, where she's
very
derived
accurate.
It from. She's saying basically over 90% of the time, coaches coach their players, don't get caught or warned. Players still need to execute any coaching wisdom.
Is
so
sign language, maybe, are they doing?
I don't know. This is another issue. It's opened a can of worms. It's amazing. Yeah. One tweet, what is created. Because we've got this side of things. Look at tennis right now. Are you to tell me there's not coaching going on? Of course there is. And Tsitsipas, I'm telling you now, he definitely gets some kind of on-court coaching every now and then. And he gets probably, his dad gets a penalty every other match, if not every match. Yeah. And that's what's when he gets caught. I've seen times when I've watched certain videos, maybe on some of the lower stuff, and I've definitely seen some kind of coaching which can be derived classes. What's even at Wimbledon recently? I forget what player it was. They looked to their box and their coach was saying some instructions to him. But then they didn't say anything. There's no consistency with it. It's like some players get away with it. Other players don't get away with it. I've seen some get like point penalties and being very, very strict with it. And other times they just turn a blind eye to it. There's no consistency with it.
Yeah, Tsitsipas is, I think if, when you're a regular offender, then they're looking out for it a bit more as well. Because in his matches, they know the dad is there. They know that there's going to be some, if they hear some noise coming from the box or if they see him talking to the box too much. I know that players shout at the box in frustration, but there seems to be a conversation which is not allowed, and you can't be having like back and forth convos with your box, or even if it's coaching or not, really. You can exchange a gaze and maybe a fist pump or something, but yeah, there can't be any actual physical coaching otherwise.
We know the rule, but it's happening. That's the point.
I know. Well, then what can you do about it? Because if you can't do,
you've got to be consistent, mate.
Your coach can't be there then. He has to be out.
No, they can be there, but the umpire has to be consistent. It's like with referees in football. If there's the rule, then you have to be consistent with every single match.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But,
and there's no consistency at the moment.
No, never.
You see one match where it's kind of being allowed a little bit. They're a bit more lenient. And the other match where they stamp it out completely. You've got to have one stance, and whatever it is, be consistent. So it's fair for everyone.
Well, yeah, and you've got like there's real inconsistencies in other parts of tennis as well. Like, I'm not sure if they call it like ball abuse or like when different players do different things with tennis balls, and sometimes they get pulled up for it and sometimes they don't. Like, sometimes you see a player just go like, oh, and just hit one in frustration, and then it doesn't go anywhere, and then they just walk back to the chair and nothing gets said. I remember the classic one when Federer did it and he got like a warning. Then he ended up in a 5-minute argument with the umpire about getting a warning. When it was on break point or something like that. And he's like, why would you do that? Like right now, this second, you know that what you're doing. You're trying to get in my head.
Well, you've got Jack there saying umpire's interpretation drives me mad because they interpret things a little bit differently. It's a tough task. It is tough to police. You've got Anna there saying, get the coaches out of the court then. Get them out completely.
Yeah, well, yeah, if you don't want coaching there and all of the stuff should have been done beforehand, they shouldn't be there.
Mate, come on, that's harsh, I think, personally.
All right, they have to have their hands tied behind the back and mask on. So they can't make any
muzzle.
Yeah, literally, they have to wear a face mask, even once all the restrictions are down. Face masks for all coaches.
And hands tied behind their back.
Or mittens, so they can't make any. There's no fingers.
Let's just be sensible, man. Coaches should be allowed in the stadium. They just shouldn't be allowed to coach. If they're caught coaching, they get a penalty. Very simple. That's how you do it. Done.
Yeah.
Next tweet.
Right. Next one. On we go. Oh, that was the actual Stefanos one was next. Sorry. Jeannie Bouchard's getting in on the action just with a Totally agree. Wow. See, the WTA and the women are all for it, though. I've noticed this.
It seems to be the women definitely favour it more. And what is your theory behind that, then?
Has he just done this just to get in on the women's side, do you think? He's just...
Maybe he's put his eye on a few. Maybe he wants to be a Jeannie Bouchard.
Who knows, mate? Maybe he's just done it. He's just got a lot of pro WTA tennis players.
They're all in his DM saying, oh, yeah, I like that idea. Great idea.
Great. Let's discuss it over dinner. Anyway, I'm not surprised, though, because I actually saw it work well in WTA. I'm not sure how well it would work in the only examples I've seen of it is in UTS, and I can't really take it too seriously. So,
yeah, well, it didn't work well in UTS.
Or sometimes they have it in when it's like team sport, like that. I mean, I don't class
Labor
that. Yeah, stuff like that. I mean, it's not the same, though. It's not. No. It's not like the individual sport where you're just on court with just you and your coach in the stands, though. So.
Sugar Slab saying, because women love him, he's good looking, and maybe they want his sausage. Just lost right. His head.
Well, I think lowered the tone enough for this pod. Cheers, Jeannie.
So they're saying women agree because they want to marry Steph. I'm not sure it's that simple. I think there's just generally a lot of people who do agree with it. It's divided. It's definitely divided people. I'm hoping by the end of this podcast, you're going to give me your verdict and you're more on my side, because I think you are slowly changing the way things is. This is one of the last ones from Matthew Willis. I'll let you read out.
All right. The only relevant question here is how to ensure this doesn't become a massive competitive advantage for the wealthier elite players. The live access to world-class coaches and in-play statistical insights for the top 10 is very different to the number 250 in the world, which is a very good point as well. Like, imagine how many of the analytics and statistics and all of the things like they see on the TV when you get the end of the set and you see all of these things. There's 84% onto your backhand, and this amount of times every time you do a forehand.
Hey, they get more in-depth reports than us, I can guarantee you of that. They know every single finite detail. Nowadays, with technology, there's reports for everything, and they can be generated instantly. And ultimately, they cost money. Data costs a lot of money. We know about that working in what we do.
Yep.
And the best players are going to be able to get the best resources because they're going to have the most money and they're going to have the best coaches. And I don't want to see it like that. I just simply don't. Mm. It's the reason, mate, I hate Man United. I don't apologize to all the Man United. Well, actually, no, I don't apologize to you. I don't like your team. I really don't. I'm against Man United. I just hate the way they act as a club. Maybe I'm just a bit sour because I'm a West Ham fan and we never win anything. But
they always beat Man United, though, so you can't be too...
Well, not really.
Well, in the years prior when I was watching more football, they always used to. But that's another thing anyway. But there's tons of football teams who do the same thing.
Just
money-driven. That's the thing. Everything's money-driven, everything at the top. But the only thing they haven't managed to do is really turn it into success, the money since Alex Ferguson went. So that's the real thing. It just goes to show money doesn't buy you happiness. Alex Ferguson does. He was the driving force of that football club. And it could be the same for some of these players. Imagine if you were to have, like you were saying, a manager or a coach for a player, and they were so good and they're like, oh, he's won 10 Grand Slams already, this player. He is He's on the path to being the greatest of all time, this player. And then suddenly there's a bid in from Federer for his coach. He's now left Djokovic. So he's gone to Federer's team. And now Federer has become the best player. And let's say 10 years ago or 20 years ago, let's say.
But on a real one, though, I don't think coaching would really impact maybe like them really elite players amongst each other. Like, is it really going to impact? Maybe it will. Maybe I'm just wrong.
I think having a Grand Slam champion in your
I'm looking at Rafa Nadal. You know I love Rafa. I think someone telling him what to do and when to do it, it's not going to help him. They've got something different, man. They're just so intelligent. They know what they're doing. They don't need someone telling them. They'll be able to work it out before the coach does. But I'm sure more stats and more information could help them. I don't think it's going to hinder them, if anything. It might just be able to reinforce some of their ideas and allow him to play with a little bit more confidence. Shout out to all the Man United fans in the chat who I annoyed.
Offended everybody.
We've got Hit Gods. I'm a Man United fan, but I love West Ham. Can we agree to hate Man City? If you love West Ham, then yes, 100%.
Definitely. I'm on board with that as well. Let's do that. Yeah. Anyway, next one. And this one is from Brad Gilbert, which is saying, I agree, coaching should be legal, but once or twice a set on changeovers, like they do now with WTA events, would be a good start.
Then he tagged, who did he tag? Van Verdu and Darren Cahill.
No,
I don't want to see it at all. I don't want to see coaching. I think it should be clear now. I've been talking for 34 minutes. I'm still adamant. I do not want to see coaching.
Not convinced.
If anything, though. No, not convinced. These tweets have not helped me either. I've not been, it's just winding me up, some of them. But with this, it's definitely more sensible than what Tsitsipas has proposed. Every point is just childish. If it was to happen, at least be for me at the end of a set. I don't even want it in changeovers, just once a set at the end of every set.
Yeah. Well, I think that's the only sort of way. Or this is another proposal, which I doubt it would ever be. Like, you've got the challenge system in there. It could be like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, when you get like the lifelines. You could just have them on the board there. You can use them up. Like, you get three of them as well. You get three throughout the whole match. You can have three coaching moments, and they only last for 10, 15 seconds. No more than that. They can give you 10 seconds of coaching or something. And you can go, right, I want it now, but it can only be on a changeover. That's it. Done. What do you think of that? Better or still hate it?
No, just don't want it. No coaching, man. Anti-coaching, definitely. We get Alchemist. They're saying, just imagine when Novak has to go through playing an opponent and most of the time against the crowd too, yet he finds a way to prepare and overcome mentally to win matches.
Exactly.
It's what makes Djokovic so great and so special. I love that trait in him. For me, that's what makes him so great as what he is the fact that he finds a way. He can, from two sets down, work his way into a match and become unbeatable in spells of the match. He grows in confidence. He works out strategies in real time. It can take him sometimes a set. It can take him a few games at times or a few points, but he finds a way. And ultimately, he manages to work it out. And that's why he's the best player in the world right now.
Yeah, exactly. And if anything, JG is shine towards the way that favours Novak Djokovic, which has surprised some people. But you want to see players like Novak Djokovic still remaining great for the reason that they became great, which is their own, mental strength.
We watched the other day at Roland Garros in the semi-final, Rafael Nadal versus Novak Djokovic, one of the greatest matches I've ever seen. I loved it. What was it? One of the sets was well over an hour. Was it an hour and a half or something ridiculous for a set? We saw some incredible tennis on display.
Flew by.
There was no coaching involved in that. There was no need for coaching. The coaches were probably sitting there in awe, just watching, thinking, well, I can't coach this. How could you possibly, as a coach, get involved in that and trying to say, oh, I think Rafa, maybe hit it down the line a few more times, or Djokovic, do this or do that. Shut up. We don't need it. We just saw the greatest tennis ever. We don't need it, mate. That's what I'm saying. If you're truly great and if you're truly in control of your emotions and your mental state, you don't need coaching because you can find a way and play brilliant tennis. We saw it the other week at Roland Garros, the two best players to play the game right now, heading off, playing exceptional and having an absolute battle on court. Mate, I'm all for that. I want to see more of that. Let's wait. Let's see. I want to see the mentally strong rise to the top and the mentally weak, I want to see them crumble and burn and fall down the rankings.
Is this the suggesting that the next generation are mentally weak and are just accepting that they cannot get to the same level that people like Djokovic?
Let me just clarify. This is not all just mental, in fact. Sorry.
No.
I think sometimes it's just about strategy.
Yeah.
Maybe they're not as good strategists.
Strategicians? I don't know.
Strategists, maybe. I think that's maybe the word. I made it up.
Let's do it.
They're not as good strategists, say, as the big three or the big players who have played the game. They know their strategies. they're well worked on it. They know exactly what they're doing, when to do it, and that's what I want to be able to see. Dominic Thiem has actually been very good at it in recent years, and he's found a way to sort of break into that. That's what it's all about. If you don't have the minerals for it, stay where you are. Stay top 50. Stay not winning titles. Only the great ones can win, and that's what I want to see. Keep it as it is. I love the sport as it is. I'll be cheering on for the great, and I'll be applauding anyone, even some socks from 100, 200 in the world, to find a way through and win. Because I think we still have that wow factor. Look at Aslan Karatsev, what he's been able to do in recent years. We could be seeing more socks as well coming up. I know we've seen a lot of Djokovic dominance and Rafa as well. But there's still the Aslan Karatsev stories there. With coaching, so. Would we see these wild stories coming through? I think that would eliminate a few more of them as well.
Yeah, indeed. And Susan just confirming, yeah, strategists is correct. So nice one, mate. There you go. Pulled that one out of the bag. Like it. Yeah, mate, I think we need more stories like the Karatsev one. And he had a great story from his coach as well, and how he sort of just rose through the rankings just with somebody who was, I believe, an ex-doubles player, wasn't he? Ukrainian guy, I believe. I can't think off the top of my head. But anyway, fantastic story for him, and just the way that he managed to then suddenly get someone all the way into the top 30, which might not see that. If it all suddenly becomes about money, would he suddenly
got his
just...
coach here. His coach is Yahor Yatsik.
Yeah, that's the guy. Sorry, I couldn't remember his name. It doesn't really roll off the tongue, unfortunately. but amazing. But imagine if he
came out and said this: Aslan Karatsev was behaving like Mario Balotelli, says the coach. In the end, he found the coach. What helped him. Aslan had a bit of an attitude problem in terms of, I don't think he was that driven. Didn't find the right drive. His coach is allowed to get him there, which is great. But this is a bit, we're going off topic now because this has nothing to do with on-court coaching. So I don't know where you're going with it.
I don't know, mate. No, I just said it was interesting just because those type of stories. Would he then go change his coach? I don't know. Now he's got lots of money. Or I think he'll just stick with the same one. I don't know. But I don't think he gets on-court coaching anyway, Karatsev. I think he's just built a good team and strategies with this coach. He doesn't require it. I think once you've found the right fit is sort of where I'm going with it. When you find the right person, you don't need it on the court coaching. You've built up the rapport. You put in the hard work. And they find a way to make you learn before, or find little ways so that you'll, I don't know, initiate parts of your brain that will remember the strategies that you were taught during your training, which I'm sure that he's got a great thing going with that coach. So well done to both of them. I think they've had a fantastic year. One of the stories.
Yeah, coaching's brilliant. It's important to have a good coach. I think I'm always in favour of having that, working on things and having that sort of muscle memory. When you're in certain situations on the court, you can sort of bring back from the memory bank and think, oh, I need to do this, I need to do that. Karatsev, I think, is a good example of that. His coach definitely helped him. But let's move on. Is there one more?
I think there's just one more, yeah.
We'll do that. And then
It's not one more. It was that one. We went to
Let's
that one.
Let's wrap it up there then. Just the final thing we want to say on the debate, and that is your final verdict, Ben. So mine's clear. Do you want me to start off? I'll just say it because it can be very quickly. And that is,
go on then, man.
No on-court coaching. I do not want to see it. I do not want to see on points, on sets, on games. I don't want to see it at all. I think coaches should be in the stadiums. They should shut up. They should go there, watch the tennis, enjoy it as much as they can. I'm sure they'll be a bit nervous for their players and animated when things go wrong. I don't mind that. I want to see passion on the sidelines. Just don't coach them. You can coach them before the match, after the match, just not during it.
Yeah. Well, and in conclusion on my side, I was sort of in favour of it, but I'm now, after all of the things and the good points that have been made by a lot of the people who are in the know in tennis about the money side of things, about all the statistical information that will be going the way of the wealthy players, I don't think it's fair that some people should have such a great advantage over the others. And I don't want to see the gap widen. So let's see the gap close based upon just skill on court, and see a nice, young, mentally strong player make their way to the top again.
I'm so happy, man. I'm so happy you've come to the good side. Are you talking about no coaching whatsoever then?
Yeah, I don't think that
you don't want to see any at all. So do you think we should not come back to, because I think on the WTA, the only reason it's not there is because of COVID. So when COVID lifts, would you want it to continue on the WTA?
For me, I don't think it should really be. I think you've got to have it across the board. You can't just have one for one and what you can't.
Yeah, but
change.
You can. WTA is its own entity altogether.
Yeah, but then they were doing it and they were saying
it's its own body. Yeah, but like ATP, WTA, complete their own different entities.
But then they were saying you can. Oh, maybe. Well, it depends. They can put out a poll for all the women's players. If they all decide that they would want it, then I don't mind, because I saw it was very effective in WTA. If they wanted to have it, I wouldn't be against it. There's part of me that thinks that they still probably wouldn't have it at Grand Slams, though. So if you're going to do it for everything. Don't just do
but
it.
But you won't be able to do it because they're their own entities in itself. The Grand
exactly.
Slam.
So don't do it
if you if so you, no, you don't want to see it on the women's either.
Just get rid of it.
He's got it. I've won. I've got him. I've got He's him won. Over. I can't
KG
believe it.
Win. We need a little button. We need a little
ding-a-ling-a-ling. Ring the bell. It's over.
Need some like confetti that goes.
I think on that we'll wrap it up. We've been talking long enough. Ben says no to on-court coaching. I say no. The people in the chat, a lot of them are saying no as well. We've got Susan there saying well done to Ben, brilliant music video creator. I don't know if you want to talk about that before we wrap things up.
Yeah, and I was going to say, now that we've been settling the coach debate, now we can talk about settling the GOAT debate, which was just came out, obviously, the Novak Djokovic tribute song. Thanks everybody who has been watching it, everybody who's been sharing it as well. It's been really nice of all of you to, well, get behind it. It's on 16,000 views now, which... It's just a couple of days, isn't it, so far? Is that right? Just a couple of days, which I don't know. I was sort of a bit blown away by the response from it. And it means all the hard work is worthwhile. And there's been a couple of people who I didn't really expect to be watching it. But I'll just share a little screenshot with you just to just so that you can see on here. I put it onto Instagram, and then this guy appeared to watch it. I don't know if you recognize this guy at the bottom of the screen here.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So Djokovic has seen the song.
Yeah, so Djokovic has seen it, and his wife as well, which is fantastic. Elena's been watching it too, so that's fantastic that... Maybe they've been sat at home on the sofa together. Maybe they popped it on. Maybe they're in different places and just texted each other. Maybe somebody else just sent it to him. Whatever happened, I'm just happy that they both got a chance to see it. And hopefully it can come true for Novak Djokovic. He can take the Olympics and he can finally get that Golden Slam later in the year. Well, I'll be cheering it on. I want to see that as being a premonition more than anything.
Well, let's see. We're going to have that soon. If you haven't already, go check out the song. You can find it pinned all over our channel. You won't miss it if you go over to Game to Love podcast, and you'll see it all over there. But we're going to wrap this one up. Good night, good morning, good evening, good whatever, wherever you are. If you haven't already, hit the like button on this video. It helps it appear in more searches, and hit the subscribe button as well. And we'll see you maybe tomorrow, maybe the next day, definitely very soon to talk about another debate in tennis, I'm sure.
Yeah, we'll try and wrap up some of the, we'll go through some of those results as well. There's a few tournaments being played this week. We'll try and cover a few of those as well, some of the shock victories. And we'll probably be getting into the latter stages of the tournaments too.
Okay, awesome. All right, wrap up. Cheers, guys.
See you later.
Podcast Network.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.